NBC presents The Adventures of Frank Merriwell. There it is, an echo of the past. An exciting past, a romantic past. The era of the horse and carriage, gaslit streets, and free-for-all football games. The era of one of the most beloved figures in American fiction, Frank Merriwell. Merriwell is loved as much today as ever he was. And so the National Broadcasting Company brings him to radio in a new series of stories based on the famous books written by Gilbert Patton under the pen name Bert L. Standish. Today, The Professor's Decision. All week long, the Yale varsity football team has been preparing for Saturday's game with a fast, strong 11 from the University of Illinois. As our story opens, it's early afternoon of the day before the game, and Frank and Bart are hurrying along Temple Street on their way to call on one of their professors.
You don't expect any trouble from old Professor Stafford, do you, Frank?
Trouble? Why should I? I think you'll understand how important this game is to all of us.
You should. Whole campus is plastered with Beat Illinois signs. Oh, he'll excuse you from that meeting tonight.
Sure he will. It's just a formality.
Hey, Frank, look at that fancy carriage. I wonder who it belongs to.
I don't know. Well, wait a minute. Well, that's Jim Dexter riding in the back seat.
Jim Dexter? The one who went to Fardale with us?
That's right. He enrolled in Yale this week, didn't you know?
No, I didn't. I'm sorry to hear it, too. I never did like him. He's never forgiven you for the time you gave him a licking.
Well, he picked the fight that time.
Sure, but that's the worst of a bully. Once you've given him a licking, they'll never forgive you. Now, I'd watch out for him if I were you, Frank.
Well, I don't see what he can do, but I'll be on my guard.
Yeah, you better be. What beats me is why he's riding in a big carriage like that.
Well, it must be his father's. The old gentleman in the back seat looked like Mr. Dexter.
Do you know his father?
Well, I met him once at a Yale banquet. He's a fine man, the publisher of one of the best literary magazines in the country.
Well, how do you like that? And he has a son like Jim. Don't forget what I said, though, Frank. Now that Jim Dexter's at Yale, keep your eye on him. Wherever he is, there's liable to be trouble.
Confound it, James. I don't know what to do with you.
Now, Father, just because we happen to pass that fellow Merriwell on the street, don't start preaching again. You're always throwing him up to me.
And why shouldn't I, eh? Answer me that. He's everything I wanted a son of mine to be. Fine athlete, campus leader. Yes, by George, and a good scholar, too.
Merriwell. That's all anybody around here talks about. Just because he can play football, they make a tin guard of him.
You've been a problem ever since you were expelled from Fardale Academy. If you're not careful, you'll be expelled from Yale, too.
Why should I be? You're going to talk to Professor Stafford, aren't you?
Yes, but this is your last chance. I'll have a long talk with Stafford. If he agrees to take you in hand, perhaps there's still hope. If not, well, James, I'm warning you, I'll turn you loose and cut you off without a cent.
I'll get through some way.
Some way, blasted boy, that's your trouble. Why can't you be a leader? When I was at Yale...
I know. You've told me a million times. Captain of the debating team and editor of the Yale List.
Yes, by heaven. And captain of the squash rackets team, too. Don't forget that. I had a record to be proud of, boy. But you...
All right. I agreed to join the debating society, didn't I?
Yes, and you better make good at it. Now, take that chap, Merriwell.
Oh, there you go again. I tell you, I'm sick and tired of him.
Yeah, he's a fine boy. You're jealous of him. Always have been. Even in prep school.
You just wait, Dad. I'll prove who's right about him. Sooner or later, that Frank Merriwell will be shown up for what he is, a tramp athlete. And when that happens, I'm going to be right there laughing at him.
I hope he's in. We've got to be at football practice in an hour.
I think someone's coming now. This won't take a minute.
Oh, Mr. Merriwell, Mr. Hudge. Well, gentlemen, what can I do for you?
Well, I wanted to speak to you about the Amherst debate tomorrow evening, Professor Stafford.
Oh?
I want your permission to be absent from the meeting tonight.
Absent? But, Mr. Merriwell, you're the captain of our debating team.
Oh, I know, sir, but he's also captain of our football team.
You see, the coach wants the whole squad to meet for skull practice at the field house right after dinner.
Skull practice? What a gruesome idea.
You don't understand, sir. It's a sort of a brush-up for the game tomorrow.
Oh.
The coach was sure you wouldn't have any objection, and I'm very well prepared on the debate subject, so I wouldn't really be missing anything tonight.
How about it, Professor Stafford? It's important to the team. Will you excuse him?
Well, I don't know. It means a great deal to you, doesn't it, Mr. Merriwell?
Yes, sir, it does.
I see. Very well, I suppose you may be excused.
Thank you, sir.
I knew you'd see it that way. And don't worry about that debate tomorrow night. I'm as anxious to win that as I am the football game.
Yes, to be sure. But be careful at this skull practice. You'll have good use for your head at the debate tomorrow night.
Very kind of you, Mr. Stafford.
Do you take sugar with your tea, Jim?
Yes, Mr. Stafford. Two, please. Thank you. I hope Father doesn't keep your husband too long in there.
The professor is happy to devote any length of time to your father. After all, Mr. Dexter is one of Yale's most distinguished alumni.
Yes, so I've heard.
The professor was a classmate of his. In many ways, Herbert says, he was like the young man who was just at the door.
Oh? Who was that?
Why, Frank Merriwell.
Merriwell? What did he want, I wonder?
He came to ask the professor to excuse him from the meeting tonight. Something to do with the football team.
Football team? Well, look here, he didn't excuse him, did he?
Yes, I believe he did. Why, Jim?
Oh, it's none of my business, Mr. Stafford. It just seems a shame that the debating team should be considered less important than the football team.
Why, I never thought of it that way. But you know, Jim, there's something in what you say. Just between us, sometimes I do get provoked at these young athletes. Some of them take their sports more seriously than their studies.
Especially Merriwell.
Why, I thought Mr. Merriwell was considered a very conscientious student.
Really? Well, just let your husband refuse him permission to miss the debating squad meeting, and you'll find out fast enough which is more important to Merriwell.
Oh, but he's already given his permission.
What?
The professor would never go back on his word. You see, the debate with Amherst was originally scheduled for tomorrow afternoon. But when they found the game conflicted, my husband postponed it until tomorrow evening.
Well, there you are. No wonder people are beginning to say that Yale is nothing more than a football power. It's such things as this, Mrs. Stafford, that set people to thinking we pay little attention to the scholastic side of college life here.
You know, Jim, you're perfectly right. I felt it for a long time, but then I suppose there's nothing we can do about it, can we?
Why not? At least you could.
I? But how?
Why don't you teach this Merriwell and the other football men a lesson? Have Professor Stafford reschedule the debate for its original time.
Tomorrow afternoon?
Yes.
Well, I'd like nothing better, but Herbert would never consent to it.
Well, I guess Father will just have to be disappointed then. It's too bad. He might have been able to do a lot of good for the university. Yes, and for the professor, too.
What do you mean by that?
Well, Father might even write an article about Yale's debating society. And I don't have to tell you, Mrs. Stafford, that his magazine carries a lot of weight in literary circles.
But I still don't see...
The trouble is, he could only be there tomorrow afternoon. The father has to return to New York on the 7 o'clock train.
Oh, dear. Well, of course, Herbert wouldn't allow that to sway his decision, but, Jim, I'm going to speak to him about this. Under these circumstances, Herbert might be persuaded. For the good of the university.
For his sake, Mr. Stafford, I hope so. But I wouldn't count on it. The football people have great influence in the university.
But so has my husband. Yes, I've made up my mind. Herbert will do it. The debate will be held tomorrow afternoon.
All right, Ben. Let's run through play 22 again. Frank.
Oh, yes, sir.
On your cut back off tackle, make that cut sharp. The whole idea is to set up that defensive back for the block.
Right, Coach.
And Bart.
Yes, sir.
When you throw that block, carry the man to the outside. Understand?
Got it.
All right, now try it once more and make it good.
All right, gang, line up. Single. 35, 28, 22, 26. Hike. 1, 2, 3.
That's it. That's it. Nice work. Everybody was digging that time. If you do that tomorrow, we'll run all over Illinois. Now, you backfield men can take a minute's rest. I want to go over these line assignments. Lineman, down here with me. On the double.
Oh, what a workout. Let's get a drink out of the water bucket.
Hi, sir, it's me.
Oh, Mr. Merriwell.
Professor Stafford.
Oh, hello, sir.
Mr. Merriwell, may I have a word with you?
Oh, yes, sir. What is it?
I'm afraid this will be a disappointment to you, but the debate with Amherst has been moved up to 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
2 o'clock?
Yes.
Oh, that's too bad. I would like to have taken part in it.
You must take part in it. You're the captain of our team.
Well, yes, sir, but the football game...
That's right, Professor. The game starts at 3 tomorrow. Frank couldn't possibly take part in both of them.
I know that, and that's very unfortunate. Particularly since it's quite impossible to excuse you from the debate.
But, Professor, we'd lose Illinois for sure then. Does Frank absolutely have to take part in the debate?
He must if he intends to pass my public speaking course. The debate is as much a part of the course as a regular class. If he misses it, I have no alternative but to fail him.
How do you like that? If he goes to the debate, we'll lose this game, and if he doesn't, he'll be ineligible for football anyway.
That's about the size of it, Mr. Hodge. Well, now, Mr. Merriwell, what do you say?
Well, what can I say, sir? I'll be there at Lyceum Hall for the debate.
Splendid, my boy. I knew you wouldn't disappoint us. Good day, gentlemen.
Good day, sir.
Yes, this is a pretty pickle. What are we going to do?
Oh, it's all right, Bart. You and the others will beat Illinois without any help from me.
No, I'm not worried about Illinois right now. I'm worried about breaking this news to the coach. When he hears about this, somebody's going to get hurt.
Oh, it's you, Coach. Good evening.
Yes, Professor Stanford, I want to talk to you.
By all means, come in, sir. Well, you seem upset. What's on your mind?
You know very well what's on my mind. What's this drivel about Merriwell and the debating team?
I believe you were acquainted with the fact, sir.
Yes, I was acquainted, all right. They told me I can't use the captain of my team in the game tomorrow because he's got to make speeches in front of a lot of old fogies. What are you trying to do, wreck our whole season?
Please, control yourself.
Control myself? How can I control myself when you're trying to ruin my football team? I demand that you release Merriwell from that debate.
That is quite impossible, sir.
Impossible, my eye. You could do it in a minute.
You forget yourself, sir. Yale University is primarily an institution of learning. Scholastic duties must take precedence over sports and recreation.
Oh.
We've rescheduled the debate, not for any malicious reason, but because this afternoon is the only time when a very distinguished and important man could be present.
Mm.
I have the dean's full approval in the matter, and I intend to do my duty as I see it. I hope I have made myself clear.
You have, all right. Well, there's nothing more I can do.
Just a minute, Coach.
Yes?
I can offer you one bit of consolation.
But this will be good.
The debate is to begin at 2, and as I understand it, the game is scheduled for 3.
That's right. What of it?
With any luck at all, your Mr. Merriwell should be through by shortly after 4.
Huh?
Now, if you could arrange to have someone meet him at the hall in a carriage, perhaps he could still make a part of the football game.
After 4, eh? Well, let's see. Could have Miss Burridge over there. Takes about 10 minutes to the field. Well, that's better than nothing, I guess. At least we may be able to get Frank into the game for the last quarter.
Exactly. I'm afraid that's the very best I can do for you.
Mm. Well, that's that.
I am sure, Coach, that upon due reflection, you'll see it my way.
You don't know me very well, Professor Stafford, but thanks anyhow, and good night.
Well, it's about time. Been waiting out here for you to finish lunch.
Oh, hello, Aunt. Sorry we're late. The coach was making a speech to the team.
Hi, Aunt.
My goodness, Bart, don't sound so sad. You think it was the end of the world.
Well, it is just about the end of our football season. You should have heard the coach's report on the Illinois team.
It can't be as bad as all that. You can hold them until Frank gets there.
Hold them? I'll bet the team won't need me at all.
Oh, you know better than that. With you missing the 3 quarters, we'll be in plenty of hot water.
But maybe I won't miss so much of the game after all. Hey, didn't I tell you the news?
What?
I had a chat with Bill Walters just before we went in for lunch.
Bill Walters? Who's he?
The captain of the Amherst debating team.
Uh-huh.
I told him all about what had happened. He said not to worry. The Amherst boys don't go in for long-winded rebuttals, and neither do we. So he thought the whole thing should be over by 4:15 at the latest.
Oh, that's marvelous,
Bill. Well, let's see. 4:15. The game starts at 3. Say, if you hurry, you might even make the start of the second half.
That's exactly what I planned to do.
Well, that's different. If our defense can't hold Illinois for one half, we might as well give up football.
See, Bart, I told you everything would work out. I thought I'd get him there before the end of the second quarter.
Wait till I tell the team. Illinois will be in for a rough day after all.
Is that you, Herbert?
It's me, Mrs. Stafford.
Oh, Jim, come in.
Thank you. I just came from the campus. I've been talking to some of the boys from the football squad.
The football squad? But what on earth about?
About our friend, Mr. Merriwell.
Oh, yes. I imagine they're upset about that silly game of theirs, aren't they?
But you don't understand, ma'am. The football men aren't worried because they expect Merriwell to play in the game after all.
But that's quite impossible. Didn't you explain to them that he has to participate in the debate this afternoon?
Oh, he's going to do that all right. But according to the players, he doesn't expect to miss much more than 20 minutes of playing time.
Oh, then so much the better for him.
But this spoils everything.
Spoils everything? Well, I'm sorry, Jim, but I fail to see how.
Well, it seems very obvious to me, ma'am. As matters stand now, Frank will play in the game and probably win it if I know him. And no one will pay any attention whatsoever to the debate. As far as the public is concerned, we haven't proved a thing. It will still seem that athletics take precedence over scholarship.
Well, yes, I guess you're right.
Oh, you know I am, ma'am. Confound the luck. I hate to see the fellow squirm out of the hole we had him in. It'll be worse than ever with Father now.
Why, Jim, What do you mean?
That's nothing, ma'am. I was thinking of Merrill. Why, I'll bet he's gloating about it right now, thinking how he's made a mockery of Professor Stafford and the debating team.
Dear me, do you think so?
Well, the football men are certainly talking that way. It's a disgrace, and something should be done about it.
You're quite right, Jim, and I agree. But I'm afraid there's nothing more that we can do. It's too late to change the time of the debate again, and besides, I'm sure the professor would never consent a second time.
Perhaps not, but that doesn't end the matter for me. Mark my words, Mrs. Stafford. Frank Merrill may be in for quite a surprise.
In just a moment, we'll return to the adventures of Frank Merriwell. But first, how would you like to win a 4-year scholarship at a top-ranked American university? Of course you would, and you can, just by writing a simple composition of 100 words or less. But you'll have to act quickly. For more news of this great opportunity, be sure to listen at the end of the program. Frank will be back in person to tell you all about it. Now, back to our story. Frank and Inza have gone to the debate, and Frank has already taken his place on the rostrum. But as the moments tick by, Inza nervously leaves her seat in the front row and goes to the edge of the platform to speak to Frank.
Frank, just look at the time. 2:15 already.
I know. This upsets all our plans. We can't possibly finish before 4 now, even if we start immediately.
It's the worst part of it. No sign of the debate starting yet. Where is that Amherst captain?
I can't understand it. He knew I was in a rush to get started.
Oh, here's Professor Stafford.
Well, this has been a most unfortunate delay.
Professor Stafford, is there any news of Bill Walters? He hasn't arrived, has he?
No, and it's very peculiar. All the other Amherst men are here.
But don't they even know where their own captain is?
Apparently not, my dear. They say he expected to be here at least 10 minutes before the debate was to begin. Well, I'm sure he'll turn up.
Yes, probably later when the football game's over.
Oh, yes, the game. I'd nearly forgotten. Oh, I'm awfully sorry about that, Mr. Merriwell.
It's all right, sir. I understand.
Oh, here's Mrs. Stafford. Now, perhaps we'll learn something. Did you reach him, my dear?
No, Herbert. I tried to telephone him at the New Haven house, but his room didn't answer.
Well, then perhaps he's on his way over.
That's the strange part of it. The desk clerk seems to think Mr. Walters left the hotel more than an hour ago.
This is odd. I wonder what could have happened to him.
Professor Stafford, I don't like the sound of this. Look, sir, may I have your permission to go over to the hotel and look for him?
To the New Haven house? Mr. Merriwell, I'll come along with you.
Fine, sir.
I'm quite anxious to find out what's detaining Mr. Walters.
I'll drive you. The carriage is parked right outside.
Good. Then come on. We can't waste any more time.
Come on, you linemen. Charge in and break up those plays. Don't let them score on us now.
Signals, 43, 25, 26, ship.
Oh, touchdown, Illinois scores. Come on, Brady, now get in there and block that extra point. Thank goodness Frank will be in here next time.
Signals, kick formation, 22, 33, 21, fight!
There's the ball. Come on, get in there, block it! All right, Dan. That's a half. Into the dressing room.
Hart, over here.
Yes, Coach? I'm sorry about that touchdown, Coach. We couldn't seem to stop that last drive.
Well, it could be worse. We can make up those 7 points once Frank gets here, but where is he? There's no sign of him yet.
I don't know, Coach. He's due any time now. The debate must be over by this time.
Yes, I guess so. Well, it'll be a different story next half when we get our attack rolling. Only Merriwell better show up soon. I'll get to the dressing room.
Oh, clerk.
Yes, sir. May I help you?
You have a Mr. Walters registered here, haven't you?
Walters? Oh, yes, the young gentleman from Amherst. I'm afraid he's out, sir.
Yes, we know that. But it's most urgent that we locate him. Do you know where he went?
No, sir, I don't. I only know he left here in quite a rush.
You saw him when he left?
Why, yes, I did, sir. He'd just come out of the dining room when a telephone call came for him here at the desk.
A telephone call? Did he answer it here?
Yes, sir.
Well, you must have heard something of the conversation. Think, man.
Well, about all Mr. Walters said was something about canceled and that he'd go there immediately.
Go there? Canceled? Dear me, what does that mean? What did the canceled refer to?
Well, I don't know, sir. He borrowed a pad from me and jotted something down. Then he left in a great hurry.
Oh, this is most annoying. We shall never be able to trace him now, Mr. Merriwell.
Oh, wait a minute. You say he borrowed a pad, clerk? Do you have that pad handy?
Why, yes, it's right here. But he tore off the sheet of paper that he'd written on.
Well, never mind. Let me see the pad. Professor Stafford, do you have a soft lead pencil?
Yes, but I don't see
Quick, we haven't any time to lose. Thanks, sir.
What on earth are you doing? Why are you blacking up that pad?
Thank heaven Walters bore down heavily on the paper when he wrote.
My stars, look at that. The indentations on the pad are showing a point.
It's an old trick, but a useful one. There. Now we can read it.
Amherst, ticket, gate 6. Good heavens. It sounds as if Mr. Walters has taken the train back to Amherst. What on earth can this mean?
It means we've got to work fast, sir. Inns is outside in the carriage. Let's go.
Yes, of course. To the railroad station.
No, Professor, to the football field.
What?
I think I know what happened, and we're going to find Bill Walters right now.
Back run. Another first down. Only you were in there.
Oh, it's too late now, and as soon as we find Bill, we've got to get over to Lyceum Hall. Oh, wait, here he is. Oh. Hey, Bill Walters.
Huh? Oh, for the love of Mike. Frank, say, fellow, why aren't you in that game? They need you.
There's a little matter of a debate over at Lyceum Hall.
Huh? Yes, Mr. Walters, and may I ask why you aren't there with your teammates?
Debate? Well, that's been canceled, sir.
Canceled? Ridiculous. Who ever told you such a thing?
Well, come to think of it, I don't know who it was. I was called on the telephone.
Well, I know. It was Jim Dexter.
Oh, of course. I might have known.
Jim? Oh, come now, Mr. Merriwell. Why should Jim Dexter want to lie to the Amherst captain about the debate?
To keep me out of this football game, sir. Think back, Professor. I'll bet he had a lot to do with having you change the time of the debate in the first place.
Why?
Didn't he?
Why, now that you mention it, I believe he did. But I'm at a loss to understand this. Why on earth should he go to such lengths to keep you out of the football game?
Oh, it's just like him, Professor Stafford. He went to prep school at Fardale with Frank, and he's always been jealous of him. He doesn't care about your old debate or anything else to do with Yale. All he wants to do is get even with Frank.
Well, I can't get over this. Jim Dexter, of all people.
Well, the harm's done now. Come on, Bill. We've got to get back to Lyceum Hall for the debate.
Yeah, I suppose so. But it's too bad you can't get into this game, though.
Oh, I think it's a shame.
Just a moment.
What?
Sit down, Mr. Walters. You're going to stay right here with Miss Burridge.
Huh?
You come along, Frank. You and I have some business to attend to.
Why'd you take me out, Coach? Illinois is leading 14 to nothing now. We've got to do something to catch up.
There's not a chance of that. I'll be satisfied now to hold them to 3 touchdowns.
Frank should be here any second. Now we can still do something.
No, Bart, you're wrong. I just telephoned Lyceum Hall.
Well, you mean the debate's still going on, Coach?
Well, I mean the debate hasn't even started yet. We can forget all about Frank Merriwell for this game, what there is left of it.
It hasn't started. How do you like that? Well, I'd like to get my hands on Professor Stafford right now.
I know just how you feel, Buck. There's nothing we can do. All right, boy, there goes the whistle for the fourth quarter. Now get back in there and do what you can.
You bet I will, Coach.
And you might try pretending the Illinois line is made up of 7 Professor Staffords. Maybe that'll help.
I'll try it. We can just... Holy cat, Coach, look!
Never mind, get in the game. The quarter's starting.
But look, Coach, running down the sideline.
What are you... Hey, gods, Merriwell, where did you come from?
Am I in time, Coach? What's the score?
Now they're leading 14 to nothing, but how did you get here?
Frank, what about the debate?
I'll explain later. Can I get in, Coach?
Can you get in? Don't stand there wasting time. Put that helmet on, get out on the field. Maybe this game isn't lost yet.
That's it, gang. Now make those blocks good. Signals, 34, 26, 22, 35. Hey, 1, 2, 3, 6.
Come on, Frank. I'll take the half.
All right, nice block, fine. Hit
ball. Get him, boy, Frank.
Run. You're in the clear.
Oh, look out for that safety, man. That's it. That's it. He's over. It's a touchdown.
Isn't it wonderful, Professor? Did you see Frank run?
My word. It's a peculiarly savage pastime, isn't it? But I must admit, it's fascinating. What are they doing now?
Oh, they're trying for the extra point. They've got to make it to tie the score. Now watch. Here they go.
Oh, by George, that was good. He hit that fellow smack in the belly with the ball.
Oh, no, you don't understand. The kick was blocked.
Blocked?
Yes, I'm afraid that means the game. Illinois is still leading 14 to 13. There isn't enough time left to win.
Nonsense. I refuse to believe it. After what I've seen here today, anything can happen. Come on, very well.
About time, too. We're licked, Frank. I don't think there's time for the one
point. We're not licked yet. I'm going to try a field goal.
Field goal? At this angle from 40 yards out? Oh, it's as good as throwing away the game.
You just said we were licked anyhow. We've got to try.
All right. If anybody can do it, you can, Frank. Let's go.
Come on, gang. This is a big one. Kick formation. 24, 27,
23, 29, hey! Come on, Buckhorn, roll him out! That's it, guys! Here, guys! Nice one, Frank! Am I carrying? Come on, come on! It's over! You did it! You win!
Honestly, Mr. Stafford, you should have been there during the last quarter. The crowd was literally limp with excitement.
Oh, it was some game, all right.
Yes, I heard all about it. And about the undignified spectacle you made of yourself, Herbert.
Undignified? I? Oh, well, I suppose I was, but it was worth it. I never saw such a sight in my life.
Well, I trust all of you behave with more decorum at the debate this evening.
Oh, don't worry, Mrs. Stafford. You can count on that.
Oh, Frank, how did you know where to find Bill Walters?
Well, I'll tell you.
Yes, my boy, I meant to ask you that. From that message, I thought surely he'd taken a train back to Amherst.
Well, I might have thought so, too, except that I remembered the football tickets for the Amherst boys were being held at Gate 6. And after all, the most logical way for anyone to detain Walters would have been to send him to the game thinking the debate was off.
Anyhow, I'm glad you made the game in time, Frank. I was sure we'd lost it.
Just imagine grown-up men and women getting so excited about an athletic contest.
Oh, but, my dear, you don't understand. If you'd only go to a game with me...
You mean... You'd actually let me go?
Why, yes, of course.
Splendid. Then these won't go to waste after all.
So what have you got there?
Why, a little present for Mr. Merriwell. 2 tickets to next week's game. We can go together and sit right on the 50-yard line.
And so ends another exciting adventure with Frank Merriwell, beloved hero of American fiction. Brought to you in a new series of stories by the National Broadcasting Company. And be sure to listen again next week at the same time when Frank Merriwell returns in another of his celebrated exploits. And now here is Frank himself with an announcement about the University of Denver Youth Month Scholarship. Frank?
Hello there. By this time, I hope most of you have heard about our Youth Month Scholarship Award to the University of Denver. If you haven't written in yet, remember time is getting short, and you have to have those entries in the mail before October 6th at midnight. That's only 11 more days, so get to work.
Say, Frank, we better go over the rules again for the benefit of those who haven't heard them.
Right you are, Bart. But first about the prize. It's a 4-year full-tuition scholarship to the University of Denver in Denver, Colorado.
Yes, and it's open to boys and girls alike, regardless of race, color, or creed.
And regardless of age, too, Enza. Don't forget, you don't have to be ready for college yet to win. The scholarship's good for 10 or 15 years from now, if it takes you that long to finish high school.
Well, that's a good point to remember, Bart. But now about the rules. All you have to do is write a simple composition or essay of 100 words or less on the topic, What Youth Means to the Future of America.
And don't forget that subject, boys and girls. It's important. What Youth Means to the Future of America.
Now, after you've written your composition, address it to Frank Merriwell, National Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York.
Now, have you got that address straight? Frank Merriwell, National Broadcasting Company, New York 20, New York. That's all you need.
Now, if you've already sent in your entry and you get a better idea, write it down and send it along, too. But hurry, there are only 11 days to go. And good luck to all of you.
Thank you, Frank. Entries in this contest will be judged on the basis of originality of thought and logic and presentation. The judges are appointed by the president of the University of Denver, and their decision shall be final. In case of ties, duplicate awards will be given. This program features Lawson Serby as Frank, Hal Studer as Bart, and Elaine Rost as Inza. Original music is by Paul Taubman. The Adventures of Frank Merriwell is written by Ruth and Gilbert Braun and William Welch, and the entire production is under the direction of Ed King. This is Mel Brand speaking. Remember to meet the Meeks 1/2 hour from now, and stay tuned now for The Adventures of Archie Andrews, heard over most of these NBC stations. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.